This is the intro jingle. This is the K-pop DevOps show with Eric Nam.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest here today with us on the K-pop DevOps show. I'm personally very excited to finally meet this incredibly talented woman. I guess I should just go ahead and introduce you. It's Yuna, everybody. Hey, Yuna, how are you?
Hey, what's up? I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us. Excited to meet you.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm excited. I was so excited about this little interview with Eric Nam. So I'm
very honored to have you on this show. Where are you calling from? You're in Malaysia?
I am calling from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And I've been out here since March. I was supposed to, I live in LA, but I still do a lot of work back mm-hmm. home in Malaysia because mm-hmm. I work with a lot of brands. And I was scheduled to do an event with fans. And at mm-hmm. the time, COVID-19 was just about to, becoming super serious. And I'm like, are you guys sure? Are we still having this event? And they were like, oh yeah, no, we're still doing it. So I'm like, okay, well, I get to come home.
Right.
To be with my family, my husband and I, so we're like, okay, cool. Well, if anything happens, at least we'll be home and, we won't worry too much about our family, our parents, And, so we flew in a day before lockdown, basically.
Oh, wow.
We flew in and the next day it was just quarantine. And now it's crazy. It's going to be July soon. I'm just like, wow. This is the longest I've been back in Malaysia. I think the last time I've been home, waking up, having breakfast with my parents, probably high school.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, what's it like in Malaysia? What is it like? Are you allowed to leave the house? Is there a strict lockdown? What's going on?
So the first few weeks, it was pretty strict, they were pretty good about, keeping people inside. And mm-hmm. But now it's getting, because of the economy and stuff like that,
right.
I guess, I get it. But stores are slowly opening back again, and mm-hmm. People are going out. The traffic is getting bad again, the traffic in KL is sometimes can be really crazy. So
yeah.
Now we have one of those again. And I think everyone's pretty good about it. And it's this new norm, you go out, you have to wear the masks,
right?
And you can't sit close to each other at restaurants or cafes,
right.
And so it's just kind of like that. I've only been out in the world once, so
I mean, props to you.
This
was
one time, that's it.
Yeah, do you have any plans going back to LA right now, or are you just gonna stay out in Malaysia for a while? What's the plan?
I don't know. I feel like I might just hang out here for a little bit until mm-hmm. Things get better,
yeah.
I'm one of those people, I don't know if you would do you go on Twitter and read what people say about how everyone's going out and
yeah. It's terrifying.
I don't know. I follow a lot of people who are just I don't understand how people can go out and hang out, having brunch. I'm just at home. I wear my mask and I wash my hands every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
So I'm one of those people. I'm just what's going on here?
Yeah.
I'm definitely waiting for things to get a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
When, for safer for us to travel back to California.
Right.
And we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, how have you, what have you been doing during this time? Have you been writing music? Are you just kind of just chilling out? What have you been doing?
I've been hanging out, doing a lot of Zoom calls.
Mm-hmm.
I try to, I don't know, write some music, but, you know, I guess I could stuff. I don't try to like force anything out. You know, I have been writing, but not a lot, like not at the rate that I was going, like, you know, like in previous like years. So, I maybe wrote like 2 songs like during quarantine. And, but yeah, you know, like they're good songs. But other than that, you know, just like hanging out with my parents, my husband, and we started this thing called Tiny Class where, you know, I teach people about like songwriting and like, you know, the process, like sharing my creative process as a singer-songwriter, how to, you know, like how I make my albums. Right. And my husband, he's a music video director, so he teaches like, you know, like about production and like how to, you know, conceptualize like a music video. So, you know, it's a lot of fun. Like I think like we feel kind of like stuck, you know, like for him, like, you know, it's hard for him to shoot anything you know, at this time, you know, like there's no music videos shoots and stuff like that, no commercials are being done. So and for me, you know, like, okay, well, I don't feel creative. Why don't we kind of just like use this time to like maybe give back, you know, to our community, to our kids. So a lot of people who signed up are Malaysians, Singaporeans, Indonesians, and you know, some, you'll get some students from like abroad. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, you know, like I feel like I'm using my time doing something good, you know.
That's
so
good.
That, and my mom runs a plant store online, like an online plant and terrarium store. So I help her, you know, kind of just like get the website up and stuff like that. It's fun. She's downstairs just planting plants, planting trees.
That's awesome though. So, I mean, that's awesome. That's, I feel like everybody's finding their own way of coping with the times of coronavirus. So it's great to hear that you guys are doing really well. I mean, there's so much that I want to talk to you about, I guess, starting, you know, with just like how you got started with your career. I mean, you are one of the most visible international singer-songwriters coming out of Southeast Asia and Malaysia. And it's so cool to see a woman like yourself just killing it in the music game, especially not only just in Asia, but in the States, where I feel like for Asians, it has, acceptance has not been the easiest thing historically. So I'm just curious, kind of, you know, when you did move over to the States, why you chose to do that? And I know it's a long period of time, almost 10 years that you've spent there. But when you look back on it, you know, what were some of the challenges that you kind of faced during that time period?
Wow. I think in the very beginning, like before I moved to LA, it was pretty much like, it was my goal to make music that, you know, the whole world can tune into, like, you know, like whatever that I was making, I want everyone to listen to it. Not just Malaysians, not just, you know, not just like Singaporeans or Indonesians. I wanted like an international career, I guess, you know. So well, of course, the first few years of me making music, you know, everything was very local. Like I focused on like the local music industry, like, okay, like joining the award shows and what do you call it, we have, you know, all these like music shows, like that's like every year you have like a competition, like Song of the Year competition, competition. So every year I would like, you know, try and be like a finalist for that show. And I think like after 3 years, you know, like I've gotten like a few Malaysian awards, I felt like, you know what, I have all these like English songs that are not being heard, you know, like it's just like kept in the vault. when can I release it to the world? I can do it myself at the time. Like, I was doing everything independently. But one day my manager found me on MySpace
and okay.
found me on MySpace and, you know, reached out, and I just decided, you know what, like, this is it. Let's just do it. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, because at the time I already had like a very stable music career in Malaysia.
Right.
So leaving would mean like, you know, like I'll lose all the momentum that was happening in Malaysia, you know, like I'll just have to be away from Malaysia. And I don't know, that could be like very detrimental to the career that I already have. But mm-hmm. I decided to take that risk. And you know what? I just have to do this and find out like if I have what it takes, you know, because yeah. I believed in my songs, you know, mm-hmm. I felt like this is good enough. Like I'm good enough. I'm as good as all the other artists out there,
yeah.
you know, like, I could be on top 40, you know, like, so I don't know. I just felt like, okay, well, I think I can do this. You know, mm-hmm. I felt like very confident. It's like, yeah, I felt like if I do this, I think I'm going to make it. So that's why I just went for it.
I mean, that's awesome.
Well, I mean, like, you know, you asked about challenges. Of course, like in the beginning, it was kind of difficult to make people see you as who you are instead of focusing mm-hmm. on, oh, she's Malaysian. Oh, she's Muslim. You know,
right.
Oh, she's a Muslim pop star. And I was like, I don't know how I like, I don't think I like being put into like a box or like being labeled like, you know, like
right.
the Malaysian Muslim pop star. I mean, I am. I'm Malaysian, I'm Muslim, I'm, I guess, like a pop star, you know, like I make pop music, but I'm also like a good singer-songwriter. So I wanted people to kind of just like not look at like, oh, she's this. She's actually, I wanted people to really focus on my music, you know, like I think in the beginning it was kind of like hard for me to just like, how do I like, what do you call it? How do I place myself in the industry, you know?
Right.
But now it's becoming like clearer to me, you know, like now I know myself. Now I'm a little bit older, you know, I've been doing this for 10 years. So now I kind of just like, know, okay, like you can see me from that angle, but here, you know, when I do interviews, like this is how I see like mm-hmm. my life and my music, mm-hmm. my career, you know? So yeah, it's like that, I guess.
No, that's incredible. And I can completely relate to that. I think for myself as well, like trying to do stuff in the States has been at times incredibly fun and great, but also challenging because it's like, how do we categorize this kid from Atlanta who is from K-pop? Is he K-pop? Is he pop? What is he? Nobody knows, but we're just, you know, and I feel the same way now that I'm back in Korea right now. People are like, oh, but you're just doing pop. It's like, yeah, but like a few months ago, you said this was K-pop. So it's just very confusing. And people, one way or another, they need to categorize you so it's easier for them to process.
Yeah.
But I think what you and I probably can agree on is at the end of the day, we just want our music to speak for itself and people just to listen to it no matter what.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. True. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, like, it's great because, you know, what's really encouraging watching your career is that I feel like people are listening to the great music that you're doing. Just to go down this list of people that you've worked with, even from G-Eazy, Usher, Janae Aiko. In K-pop, you have Jay Park, Epic High, you have Tyler, the Creator. Just such an extensive list of amazing collaborators. And I think in many ways, that's a testament to your talent and your music. And so people are seeing your music for what it is and your talent. How has that felt to feel that sort of, in a way, I don't want to, I would think it's like validation in a way, but I don't know how you would perceive that.
Well, it's definitely, you know, like the last album, like mm-hmm. the last album was 2019. So that means, you know, like I've been doing this for maybe 9 years, you mm-hmm. know, like, so it's like, whew, wow, it took me like 9 years to get all these amazing people on my mm-hmm. album. So, and a lot of fans, I feel like, they weren't, what do you call it? Exposed to, I don't know, like, they didn't, no, they weren't aware of what I was doing in the States, for example. You know, like a lot of media was just like, oh, wait, like, so what is she doing now? And now that I have Rouge out and I'm working with all these people, and, you know, it's because it's, I guess, like, it's not so much about like, oh, me trying to like prove like, oh, look at me, you know, like I have all these amazing artists that I work with. It's like, I've known all these artists from before, you know, like I'm mm-hmm. just like waiting for the right time to work with them.
Right.
And I know for a fact that, you know, like I'm a huge fan of their work and their music, and I really, really want to work with them. And now I have the opportunity to do so. And so here it is, you know, an album of Yuna and like the people that she loves, the people that she looks up to, you know. So
mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, like, I guess that's how like I see it, you know. I wasn't looking for like validation or anything like that. I just wanted to like, okay, well, you know, here it is, you know, this is what I've been doing in the last
yeah.
like, 10 years. This, you know, if I wasn't working on anything, like I wouldn't be here, you know. I wouldn't have
right.
a song with Tyler, I wouldn't have a song with like Janae, I wouldn't have a song with Lil Sims, you know, all these artists that I've worked with, you know, we go way back, like 2012, yeah. for example, you know, like mm-hmm. I worked with like G-Eazy, like 2012, you know, I worked with, I performed at, oh gosh, that's the name of the festival I'm like blanking out.
Lollapalooza.
That I met, like, no, Tyler the Creator.
Oh, Camp Flognaw. Yeah.
You know, I was at Camp Flognaw in 2014 or something.
Yeah.
You know, 2015. So that's when I first met him, like,
uh-huh.
spoke to him. So, you know, like, people don't see this, like,
right.
oh, you know, she's out there, she's, you know, doing her thing. You know, a lot of people are just kind of just, you know, my fans are just like, oh, like, what is she doing there, you know,
mm-hmm.
and why is she making English American music?
Yeah.
But now I feel like they're slowly getting it. They're slowly like, oh, okay, like I see it now, like I see what she's been doing all this while.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I guess that's just like how also what I wanted to kind of like
yeah.
share with everyone with the previous project. So yeah,
that's awesome. I mean, you know, I'm sorry if the word validation in any way was the wrong phrasing. I think for me as just a fan and as a fellow Asian, watching someone like you be able to get in the rooms and write and spend the time and invest the energy and the creativity that's required to put it together a great cohesive piece of work. It's something that I find very admirable. And also just like encouraging, because, and I truly mean it, because I feel like we need more Asians doing this kind of stuff. And so you're one of the pioneers in doing that. And it's been really, really great to be able to watch you kind of continue to put out these great pieces of work. So yeah, I've just
like
been loving
you're
it.
You're also one of the pioneers. You're like one of the pioneers of like…
Well, thank you. Thank you. I mean, you know.
You make great music. And I think like that's what's important, you know, like we just have to like continue making great music, writing great songs. And I've always believed that when you do that without trying to like, you know, having ulterior motives, like
mm-hmm.
you just want to write good music, I think that's when it speaks the loudest, you know.
Mm.
Like I think that's when it will reach like more people, like in a very like pure and natural way, you know. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's it, you know, like regardless of if we're like Asian or not, you know, like I think that now especially like people are more open to like artists who are not from America, you know what I mean, who don't look like, who don't look a certain way, you know, now people are like more open about it and more accepting, you know, so
Well, thank you. I agree. I do have to ask, as a fan of Usher as well, what was it like working with him? How did that process happen?
So my management works with Dev and the Cataracts. I don't know. Are you familiar with the Cataracts?
Yeah, I remember them. I don't know much about them, but yeah.
So they went on tour with Usher, I think, in 2014, 2013, I want to say. So, you know, like, we were just, like, having a conversation before that. You know, my manager was, like, having a conversation with his camp and just being like, hey, like, you know, like, Yuna's a huge fan. Of course I'm a huge fan, you know, I grew up listening to Usher like crazy. Usher, Alicia Keys, Aaliyah. So at the time I didn't feel like, oh, you know, like, okay, like Usher, I'm never gonna be able to work with Usher, but can you please tell him that I love him, you know? That's it. And then one day my manager hit me up at like 11 p.m. I was already in bed and he's like, okay, get ready. I'm going to scoop you up like in 15 minutes. We're going to go see Usher. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm already in bed. Okay, whatever. Like, I'm going to like change, put some makeup on, and then, okay, let's go see Usher. And we met him and he was just like the nicest, sweetest guy ever. He was rehearsing for his tour. And he's like, you know, I love Coffee. So Coffee is a song that I have it was from my very first EP, like in 2011, you know. So I'm just like, how, what? Like, oh, cool. You know, like, it's so crazy for him to mention like such a, what do you call it? A
deep cut, yeah.
Like, that existed somewhere. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm just like, I totally forgot that I have this Coffee song. And so, you know, like, I told him, like, well, I'm not working on any music right now, but when I do have something, you know, like, would you be open to, like, maybe, like, sing with me, you know, like, be on this track with me? And he's like, yeah, no, like, send anything. So I think finally, like the next year, like I was working on Chapters and I had this beautiful song. Of course, you know, like Usher was already like, you know, in my mind, just like, okay, well, you know, Usher said this like a year ago. Maybe he's still up for it. Maybe he still remembers, you know? I had like a few songs, but this one song stood out for me, like, it was a slow jam, kind of just like very chill. And, you know, it was nothing like upbeat. I don't know if it was going to be like a huge song. You know, it's like one of those things. It's like, I didn't write this for the radio, you know? Uh-huh. So I didn't write this to be a radio hit. So there's another song that was kind of like a radio hit. And I have to say, a lot of people wanted, you know, like from the label, from my management, just felt like, oh, we got to give this to Usher. It's like this like upbeat, like up-tempo song. And it's like, because Usher was putting out a lot of songs that are like that, you know, that did really well on the charts. But I'm like, no, we have to go with this crush song that I have. And true enough, you know, like we sent it over to him and he loves it. And yeah, and that's how it happened, you know. And it all started from that like one little meeting of just like, you know, just like talking to him and seeing what he's up to, instead of just like, I really want to work with you, just kind of like finding out like, so what are you up to, how are you feeling, you know, like, are you, you've been making music? And he's like, yeah, you know, like, I've been, I don't stop making, you know, I've been making music like
forever
and he doesn't stop. So like, and he doesn't stop, you know, so he just like, he would just make songs like every day, like maybe, I don't know, like 10 songs a day or something like that. So I wanted to share with him like this thing that I have that I felt like, you know what, like I used to listen to my boo like crazy.
Oh my god, me too.
This song is right
all the time.
So how old were you when that song was out? Came out.
Oh my gosh, what year did that come out? I think I was in like freshman year of high school, maybe. But that was like my go-to karaoke jam as well with my friends. We go and I'd be like, all right, we're going to do this. You be Alicia, I be Usher. Let's go. And it was my jam.
Right?
Yeah. It was such a good song. And like, my thing is like, I'm from Atlanta. Usher's from Atlanta. We're like, we have Usher. And I had like a family friends, their house next door neighbor was Usher's parents. And so like for Thanksgiving, we just like kind of stand out there and be like, is Usher coming? Is Usher coming? Is Usher coming? I never saw him, but just to know that he
That's
was nearby.
So cute. Have you met him before?
I have not. No? I'd love to meet him, but you know, he's an inspiration for so many.
I feel like you guys have to, because you're both from Atlanta, you know? So it's like he's I performed with him the first time I was on tour, the Chapters tour.
Mm.
And then I was in Atlanta, mm-hmm. and he was in Atlanta too. So I was like trying to like, do you think you want to come on stage and sing a song with me? And I was waiting for him to reply. I was like, come on, just say yes. Just say yes.
Please,
and
please,
then he's
please.
Just like, what time? Okay, I'll see you. But then we're just like, okay, you know what? I don't have like a confirmation, yes or no. He might just come to say hi. He probably won't be on stage.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? Let's just keep like a microphone ready for mm-hmm. him. And he came right at the last minute. Like Crush was like the last song. And he came like 10 seconds before with his phone up. And I'm like, come on stage. And he's just like, okay, you know what? Like, okay, let's just sing the song. And he sang the song with me. It was amazing.
That's
in
so
Atlanta
cool.
too. So
that's so cool.
That was like the best show. I think one of the best shows that I've played, you know, like, but yeah, my boo. Damn.
That's a jam.
Changed everything.
It really did.
That's a jam.
It's a jam. I mean, you've collaborated with so many people, and you know, this is a K-pop Tebok show, so we do have to acknowledge the great K-pop artists that you've worked with as well. Both Epic High and Jay Park. You know, how did those come about, and what was it like working with them?
Oh my gosh, with Epic High, this is gonna sound really, really funny, because like I had no, you know, like I wasn't I wasn't aware of like the Korean like hip-hop and like R&B like mm-hmm. scene, you know what I mean? Like I was too busy working on my own thing. I was just like, okay, well, you know, like one day I just decided, you know what, let's just like kind of like listen to like all the, you know, these other like music like that's happening, the music scene like around the world, see what's happening. And then someone mentioned, like, you know, I was asking fans, like, hey, like, who should I check out? Like, who should I listen to? Like, I mm-hmm. like R&B and hip hop. And someone mentioned, like, Epic High. So, you know, I was listening to their music, like, oh, okay. Like, they're dope. Mm-hmm. And I think at Coachella 2015, I think, mm-hmm. Someone came up to me, because I did mention, you know, like I was tweeting like, oh, like I, you know, like I love Epic High. And then I think someone came up to me with his mask on and just be like, hey, Yuna, like, it's me, Tablo. I still remember that. I was just like, and you know him, you know his style. He's just like, hey, Yuna, it's me. you know? And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I love you. Like, thank you so much for, like, saying hi. Like, everyone was, like, wearing their, like, little, like,
their mask, yeah.
Coachella, yeah. So, because it was so dusty. So, like, you can't really, like, see,
right,
you know, who's behind these masks. And he came up to say hi, and I think that's how, you know, like, we kind of just, like, kept in touch. And I was really happy when we had that, you know, like, he wanted me to be on that one song.
It's a great song. You sound great on it.
Yeah, thank you. No different.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, it's a great song. I was like, okay, I'm down, let's do it, you know. And yeah, I mean, I know they were gonna, like, play at Coachella this year.
Yeah,
they were supposed to.
Yeah,
yeah. And I was gonna be there.
Were you gonna perform?
Yeah, I was not gonna. I was gonna perform with like Toki Monsta.
Oh, okay.
Who else? With Nikki, the Indonesian singer.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, epic hi, I'm gonna be at Coachella, you know, so maybe
let me know. Hit me up together.
So let me know. But yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're super nice guys, and I went to their show in LA, I think, like, last year, and they put on a really good show.
Their fans
are amazing. So, yeah,
they're
really, really, really nice fans.
I mean, epic high. They're just, you know, legends, obviously, when it comes to hip-hop, particularly in Korea.
I read about that, too.
Yeah, they're amazing. And it's crazy because, like, even for me, when I first met Tablo, I was like, I think we met in New York at a Korean barbecue restaurant, like, he was leaving the bathroom and I was walking into the bathroom or something. He goes, your face is in the bathroom. And I was like, what? And he was like, there's a poster of your face in the bathroom. I was like, okay, all right. Nice to meet you, Tablo. I'm a big fan. And that was, like, the first encounter that we had. And but he's such a great, great guy. Fun guy. I mean, outside of Epic High, you had Jay Park feature on your album on the song Does She. How did that come about? Did you guys stay in touch for a long time as well, or was there a particular reason you wanted Jay on that song?
So Jay was in town for a little bit, and then my manager was just like, you know, he gave me the idea of just like, hey, maybe you should work with Jay, because Jay was working with Kyle at the time.
Oh, right.
And so Kyle is one of my really good friends, and he's also with the same management. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, I love Jay Park, because Jay Park is one of those, like, Asian artists who are just like, hey, anybody Asian, let's go. Let's, like, make music, you know? So he worked with this amazing rapper from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, Joe Fizzo. So Joe, super talented. You know, he's one of the kind of, like, the pioneering, like, hip hop artists in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And they had a song together. They worked on a song together, and I love that song, you know. So I was just like, oh, I love the fact that he did that with Joe. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, let's meet up with him. You know, I also had, like, this one song that I felt like could be great for him to be on. Uh-huh. And just like, oh, I would love Jay Park to be on this song. So he was working at the studio that's, like, a few blocks away from my house.
Uh-huh.
And we went to say hi and just like, hey, like, can I play you this one song? It's called Does She. You know, I feel like it'd be cool for you to jump on this track and be, you know, like, be the male perspective of like, having the male perspective of the song, you know?
Yeah.
So,
all right. That's cool.
Yeah.
You seem like such a genuine person when it comes to not only your music, but how you approach these collaborations, which I think is amazing. You know, it's taking the time to meet with different artists and invest in each other and kind of go about it in this organic way, which is really cool to see. But, you know, stepping away from music for a moment, I think one thing that you also do a lot of is, you know, fashion and brands and that kind of stuff. And is there something, you know, that you like to… I feel like fashion for a lot of people is a statement. It is something intentional, what you wear and how you represent yourself. How do you like to think about that for yourself and how it applies to your life?
Wow. Let's see. I guess like with fashion, it was something. It's something that has been a part of me for a very long time. You know, mm-hmm. like I'm a girl. Like girls just love like wearing their mom's like skirts. It's mm-hmm. just like makeup and like high heels. So from the very beginning, I was very like into like fashion. You know, like looking through like the fashion magazines. But I think like becoming an artist really challenged me to kind of just like come up with my own style. Mm-hmm. So I was on this, Malaysian Idol-esque show, and I got accepted. You know, like I went for the audition and then I got in, and at the time I was still like a law student, so I didn't have like cool clothes. You know, I was like a student. So I picked like maybe five things that were, to me, it was like, okay, this is the best five things that I have like in my closet right now.
Yeah.
That I wear to class. Then I put them on, you know, like I, you know, with my hijab, and it was kind of like, I remember the color, it was like green. And I'm like, why was I wearing green? So it's just like green scarf, green top, and just like gray trousers. And I went in, and then they were like, it was like the style challenge, you know? So, okay, like do, you know, like how, wear whatever you want to represent your style. And I'm just like, oh man, like this is going to be tough. I don't have anything. So I just have that on. And then they were just commenting on my look, you know, like, mm-hmm. well, you know, like, what do you do? And I said like, well, I'm a student and I'm a college student. And then this guy goes like, yeah, you look like one. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to remember this forever. Mm-hmm. So after that, I decided, you know what? I'm just going to, you know, like have my own style. So I feel like my fashion icon, like that the fashion icon that I look up to, that I like to like refer to, you know, like mm-hmm. is Gwen Stefani in the 90s, like her in the 90s, like, you know, like she just has like a really cool, like strong sense of self and
right.
like, sense of style. And I really wanted to be like that as well, yeah. you know? So obviously like it took a while to kind of just like, you know, like get into the fashion thing. But mm-hmm. once I knew and I was like, more confident, I knew that I was more confident like doing this fashion thing, you know, I just started, you know, like working with magazines and going for shoots and, you know, just really putting myself out there as like a fashion person. You know, why not? Like it goes with the music thing anyways, you know,
yeah.
so why not just like own it? And mm-hmm. it took me a while to kind of just like owning something, you know,
right,
like
I right, guess right.
like with an artist, you're just like the shy musician and like, I don't know if I want to do like the fashion thing, you know? So it took me a while, but I'm definitely like comfortable with it now. So yeah.
That's great. I mean, I think it's also great that, you know, as a Muslim woman and you are always rocking a hijab, for a lot of Americans, it's not, you know, it's not commonplace to see, you know, it's what was that reception like? I'm sure, you know, you've lived through it for people in America who are don't, you know, unfortunately are just very closed-minded when it comes to that. How is that? Were there any uphill battles in that in the States?
I think I got used to it. Like, it's the same in Malaysia.
Really?
Dude, like, you know, like, yeah. So when I first started out, there wasn't any, there were a lot of Muslim Malaysian women in the music scene, you know, mm-hmm. just without their hijab. And And it's totally fine. It's totally normal. Like, music is a huge part of music, film, art is a huge part of our culture. And but when I started out wearing the hijab, you know, it was just like, I don't want to take off my hijab, you know, like if I want to be a singer, like why? I was like thinking about it. It was just like, it felt like a normal thing to do back then, you know, like, oh, well, if I want to be a singer, I would have to take off my hijab and let my hair out. But do I have to, like, you know, is this like, is there like a rule or something, you know, that says that, oh, if you want to be a singer, you have to let your hair out. And for me, I was just like starting to be super comfortable with the hijab. You know, it's been like a part of me. I cover my hair. I practice modesty. So it's just like, I really like this. You know, I really don't want to let go of this for another thing that I love, you know. And why don't I just combine the two together and just, you know, rock it. And at the time, I feel like record labels weren't ready for that. You know, like I went for meetings and stuff and they were like, oh yeah, okay, so you have to take off your hijab. You know, like we have like a stylist for you, blah, 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 which I kind of understand. But at the same time, like I condemn that, you know, it's just like, why can't you just accept an artist that you like, that you want to sign as, you know, like the person that she or he is. And I don't know, like enhance whatever that this person already have. You know, like for me, like I knew, like I have English songs, like, and you as a label, like, why don't you try and help me out promoting that, like, to the world, you know what I mean? And they just like, oh, well, you know, like we want you to stay in Malaysia, blah, blah, blah. I want you to change this and that. And I was just like, well, I really don't want to do that. So I started my own label and released my songs and did my own thing. And I think like 3 years after that, I decided, you know what, like, I think I'm ready for the States. And of course, like a lot of people were just like, well, you're Muslim, you're, you know, you wear the hijab. I don't know how they're going to, if they're going to accept you or not. People weren't ready for me. People were just like, you know, like putting me on newspapers, like, oh, Yuna wore this, you know, like Yuna wore that, and oh, Yuna showed her neck now, you know, like it's just like really dumb. And I was just going through that like all the time. I'm like, you know what, if nothing's gonna, I don't know, nothing's, I feel like I've gone through a lot of things, that's, this is gonna be like one of those things that I just have to like face, you know. And I have to like conquer this fear of just like being out there and trying to be myself, because I fight that battle every day, you know, like fighting the right to be myself like every day since 2010. So it's not going to be anything new for me if I do move to the States at the time, you know, if I do go out there and having to prove myself, like, yeah, well, this is who I am. Like, it's not going to be anything new, you know, I've been doing it anyway. So yeah, and I got really lucky that, you know, I have fans who were just like me, who don't know, you know, like when I was growing up, I didn't have like a singer that I look up to who looks like me,
right?
Maybe J-Lo, but you know, like Jennifer Lopez kind of looked like a Malaysian, you know, as a kid. I was like, oh my gosh, we have the same skin tone. But now I get to be that person, you know, like I get to be like a representation of like the Malaysian, the Southeast Asian woman. And a lot of girls who are just like me, you know, they look at the music scene and just be like, oh, this girl, like I can be like this girl, you know? And so, yeah.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree. And I'm so glad that you have stuck by who you are and what you want to stand for, especially in an industry where there are so many voices and opinions on who should do what, how. So I think it is incredibly important that you've kind of held your ground, and I'm sure you are inspiring so many people around the world for it. So thank you for doing what you do. And you know, it's, you know, I've taken up almost over an hour of your time. So it's about time to start just kind of wrapping things up. But first of all, thank you so much for making time. I know the times are a bit crazy. We had some technical difficulties today. But It's been a pleasure getting to know you.
That's totally fine.
And I hope one day our paths will cross in person, and maybe one day we can work on a song together. Just my personal, desire. But
I wanted to ask you that too. Like, can we like please work together?
Please, let's do it.
You have an amazing voice.
Oh, thank you. You do as well. It's like the most soothing voice I've heard. So I actually went to bed last night with some of your songs on in the background. So thank you for doing what you do.
Eric, thank you. No, we should. I'm independent now. I'm back to being an independent artist. I know. It's just like, I love telling that to people. Everyone has like that same reaction. Just like, ooh.
I feel you. I feel on that. So yeah, let's do something.
Yeah,
let's put something cool together. So, you know, thank you again for making time. For all the people who just got to know you today, I'm sure the many of them are wondering, where can they connect with you online? Where can they find some of your stuff? What can they look forward to in the near future? If you want to plug anything, you want to share anything, now's the time. Do it with our family here.
Ooh, well, you can find me on Instagram, Yuna, and on Twitter, Yuna Music. Mm-hmm. And Facebook, I'm on there too. I'm always on Instagram, actually.
Okay.
I'm on TikTok too. Are you on TikTok?
Yo, TikTok stresses me out. I'm on it, but I get stressed out from TikTok.
I know, right? I just started to like crack the code of TikTok.
You're gonna have to share it with me, because as people are all doing this stuff, and I'm like, what are these magic tricks that people are using to make this happen? Because it don't make sense to me.
Well, it's okay. We'll figure it out together. I think, I do have like some links up on yunazarai.com/help if you want to, you know, like donate and, you know, learn more about social justice, Black Lives Matter. And also, you know, like things that are happening in Malaysia and around the world, I keep updating links on my site and that. And also, my new song is out. It's called Stay Where You Are. And that's
all it. Right. Well, everybody, please check out her new song, Stay Where You Are. Go to her website, check her out on socials, and hope we can connect again soon. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
And
I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So that's it for this week's episode of K-Pop Tebak, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Be sure to listen and subscribe on wherever you find your podcast. And you can also see video from this cool catching up session on YouTube. Go to youtube.com/divestudios. And have a great week, guys. And we'll see you very soon. Bye.
Bye.
Outro! Thank you for listening to K-Pop Debug with Eric Nam.
Acast powers some of the world's best podcasts. Here's a show we recommend.
We're Good Moms, Bad Choices podcast.
Two black single moms living in LA, the Valley to be exact.
Duh.
We keep it 100, real, and unfiltered every Wednesday.
This is not your average mom show. No DIYs, mommy hacks,
or complaining about how our kids just hit their 60-month milestone.
This is grown folks talk.
That's right, because mama gotta have a life too.
Nothing is off limits as we discuss mental health, sex, motherhood, dating, culture, and our sometimes bad choices.
With a range of guests from social activists to porn star parents. This is a judgment-free zone for moms, women, and anyone looking for their tribe.
Join us, your host,
Erica
and Mila of Good Moms, Bad Choices podcast.
Every Wednesday on all podcast platforms.
Acast recommends.